Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. My guest for this morning is Susan Heim. She is the author of the latest Chicken Soup for the Soul book, Devotional Stories for Wives. Susan will be sharing stories of inspirations from 101 wives who use unique devotionals to further nurture their relationships. Good morning, Susan. Welcome back to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great, Johnny. It's a pleasure to be back.
Glad to have you on the air with me. Devotional Stories for Women is a remarkable book. The stories are very heartwarming, and my personal thought is that it is a must-read for wives as well as husbands. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I really enjoyed putting this book together.
Wonderful. For the sake of our new listeners, please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Okay. I was born and raised in Lansing, Michigan, the capital city, and I stayed in Michigan until I got a business degree from Michigan State University, and after that I was ready to escape the cold weather in Michigan, and so I came down to Florida. And I've been down here ever since. I've raised a family. I have four sons, two of my boys. One of them just graduated from college. One of them is in college. And then I have nine-year-old twin boys. Mm-hmm. And I work from home as a freelance writer and editor and, of course, on lots of Chicken Soup for the Soul books.
Fantastic. Why write devotional stories for wives?
Well, we had written, this is actually the fourth book in our line of devotional stories from Chicken Soup for the Soul. We have a devotional story book for women, for mothers, and for tough times. And so we put those out 3 years in a row, and then we kind of took a break for a while to see, to see how people liked them and if they were reading them. And we were pleasantly surprised to see that people really loved the devotional format. For people who aren't familiar with the devotional books, they are a little different from our regular Chicken Soup for the Soul books. They consist of a shorter story. It's usually about half the size of a regular Chicken Soup for the Soul story. And then they have an accompanying prayer, an original prayer that the author has written, as well as a Bible verse. And so we wanted to do another one, and we know that women are primarily our reading audience, and so we just felt we didn't have a lot of material out there for wives, and that certainly, issues related to marriage and family are very important to women and often, very challenging for them. So we thought that would be a good topic for women to get some daily encouragement, and help them deal with the issues that they face in their marriages.
Unless if I'm wrong, I believe this is the first time I did devotional stories. I may be wrong here, but I love the concept. It is a quick read, and every story is directly to the punch. You just get all the information you want, and it's very inspiring, very, very encouraging.
Exactly.
So I really like that. I like the concept. What sort of marriage challenges do the book tackle?
Well, it really deals with a lot of issues that I think are very common to married couples. Communication is a biggie, learning how to communicate better with each other. Embracing your differences. A lot of times, those little differences between a couple can really drive a wedge between them. So there's a great chapter on embracing your differences instead of letting them divide you. We also talk about recapturing the magic, sometimes after you've been married a long time, you lose that newlywed bliss, as one of our authors termed it. So we talk about that, recapturing the magic, facing challenges, of course, the bigger issues besides just those day-to-day things that annoy us, whether it's illness or economic difficulties. We even tackle second marriage. It's very common now for people to be in a second marriage, and they're, you know, really want to make it work the second time around. And so we talk about that as well. And because this is, of course, a devotional book with Bible verses and prayers, we do also talk about the power of prayer and how a relationship with God can also strengthen the relationship with your husband.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. In other words, don't buy a smartphone and start texting each other, right? Let's talk to each other.
Exactly. Yes, nowhere in the book does it say to text each other. It's a little deeper than that.
Or you can actually communicate and pull out a little PowerPoint presentation. This is you. This is me.
Well, if that's what works for you, I won't discourage it, for sure.
Do you have a recommendation on how to best use this devotional?
Well, it really depends on the person, I think. Some people like to start their morning off, you know, with a daily devotional. Mm-hmm. It kind of sets the tone for the day. Other people want something to read before they go to bed at night, you know, to sort of to wrap up the day, to put a good thought in their head before they go to sleep. But really, you can do it anytime. The woman on the cover of the book is reading it with a cup of coffee, so she's sort of mm-hmm. taking a break in her morning and reading her devotional book. And another thing that's really fun to do with the book is there are several ways that you can go through the book. It's not like a typical novel, for instance, where you might start at the beginning and go straight through mm-hmm. to the end. With this particular book, you can do that if you want to and just, you know, treat it as a daily calendar. Or you might want to look at the chapter headings and start with a chapter that is pertains to a particular issue that you're facing. You know, if you're mm-hmm. annoyed by those differences or something else, you can look for a chapter that particularly appeals to you. And finally, as we say in the recommendation, maybe you just want to close your eyes, open the book, and see where the Spirit leads you. You know, what pops up that day that may have some meaning for you.
Very true. Are these stories to be read alone or with the husbands?
Well, you know, this is a great question because originally I had always assumed that women would be reading these on their own. But actually, you could do it with your husband as well. What I like about this and sharing it with your husband is I think a lot of times women will say to their husbands, you know, I have a book I want you to read. You know, there's this marriage book. You got to read it. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're kind of intimidated by the thought of, oh, gosh, I got to read a whole book, you know, 300 pages, you know. She wants me to read this book. And so that's what's really great about these stories. They're all about 500 words, just a couple of pages. It's something that you can easily fit into your day, you know, with your husband. And they really can help prove to become a starting point, I think, for conversation, rather than coming right out with an accusation, you never pick up your socks, or, you know, I'm tired of you doing this, or whatever. You know, you can kind of approach the topic in a subtle manner, you know, give mm-hmm. him the book and say, oh, isn't this a great story, honey, you know, and he can read the story, and then, you know, maybe it'll kind of open the door for you to talk about a particular issue together. So that's a great way to share the book. And, you know, and of course, wives will read it by themselves as well, because I think it's a wonderful way to feel that you're not alone, you know, to read the stories of other wives and the issues that they're going through and the problems they're dealing with. And it's just, it's kind of like having a friend, you know, if it's something that you can't talk about with somebody else, it still helps to read about other people dealing with the same issues and, you know, knowing that you're not the only one with mm-hmm. challenges, you know, in being married. So
you think using the devotional book either alone or together is definitely a necessity in a healthy marriage then?
I mean, obviously it's not a necessity. It's, you know, there are other ways and other means to mm-hmm. Move your marriage along. But I think mm-hmm. As many tools as you can have, you know, to help your marriage, it certainly can't hurt. And, you know, as I said, I think this is a wonderful way to sort of get that started, to, you know, it's not as intimidating as going for counseling or having an argument or something like that. But it's a tool. You know, it's another way that couples can, you know, get together, share something together, and again, open the door to maybe communicating about these things that they might have a hard time bringing up. So it can definitely be a help. I'm not going to say it's going to save your marriage if you're in deep trouble, but it can. But for those little things in those times when you know, when you're frustrated and you know, it can definitely help. Yes.
I'm only speaking from a guy's perspective. In reading the book, I believe that husbands can gain a lot from it, simply from the standpoint of, if you are not understanding your wife, this book allows you to read the different scenarios that all these women went through. And I guess in a way, having someone else speaking to you, that you could relate to some of the issues you may have with your wife. And then from their perspective on how things unfold from their point of view, without having that in-your-face confrontation situation, so to speak.
Right, right, from your wife. Mm-hmm. That's true. It is a great way to help men understand where women are coming from, you know, what's going through their heads and why they might be reacting so seriously to some of the things that they do. It's definitely a great way to help men maybe get inside women's minds a little bit and understand what they're going through or why they're having some problems.
Right. And again, it's more about using this book as a tool to how do you blaze the trail of communication.
Exactly. And hopefully after reading the story, it will allow you or make it easier for the two of you to talk in greater detail about how you're dealing with these issues in your own home.
Right. And then again, I'm speaking about the fact that it takes two to make it work, because your wife can read all kinds of devotions and read the Bible inside out from left to right and all that kind of stuff. But if you're not participating, it's not going to happen.
That's true. That's true. It takes two to tango, you know. Like you said, you can, you know, she can hope all she wants that he's going to change and that things are going to be different. But in reality, it really takes both of them working on, you know, whatever issues they're dealing with, and both of them being open to talking about it and being open to the possibility of changing themselves, you know, and perhaps the way they're thinking or what they're doing, as opposed to always just wishing that your spouse would be the one to change, you know.
Right. The action comes from the other side, and then you are just reactionary. This book allows you to take action in some ways in a covert way, you know.
From a guy's
point of view, you know, read the book and have a better understanding on how to communicate effectively and to kind of hear the other side of the story without being, like I say again, in that situation where in your face kind of situation.
Right, right. It's a good covert behavior.
What is the most challenging aspects in putting the book together?
Well, it's definitely, and this probably holds true really for most of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books that I work on. It's just, it's reading other people's stories, and sometimes, you know, that people go through real challenges. It's, you know, they're so open and honest and, you know, talking about the things they've gone through. Perhaps, you know, it might be a cancer diagnosis or a death of somebody close to them. It could be, you know, a child that has died or, you know, their house catches on fire. It's just, you know, the possibilities are endless. And sometimes it's just, it's heartbreaking. You know, you read some of these stories and it's just, you know, they really make you sad. So that is a challenge, you know. You sort of have to brace yourself. But at the same time, it's also a blessing because, you know, we read about these things, we see what people go through, and we really see the resilience of people and of the human spirit. These people have gone through so much, you know, so much more, knock on wood, than I've gone through, and yet, you know, they live to tell the tale. They're here. All they want to do from this situation is to write about it, to write to Chicken Soup, and to help others who maybe are going through the same thing. So it's, you know, it helps take the edge off, even though they're difficult for us to read. Sometimes we know that these stories are just so, such a blessing to many people to help them get through their own difficulties as well.
Were there revelations in terms of any surprising things that you've learned from the contributors?
In this particular book, Devotional Stories for Wives, I think one of the things that really surprised me was to learn that I think nobody has a perfect marriage. You know, mm-hmm. we always see certain couples that we hold up to, we hold up on a pedestal. We think, oh, they have the perfect marriage. They're always so loving and they're always so great to each other outside. And, you know, we assume that everybody else is having a great marriage and we're the only ones with the issues. So. Or at least one of the few people with the issues. And I think it really would surprise a lot of people to know that there's a lot more that goes on behind closed doors, you know, that people may seem to be soulmates on the outside or may seem to have the perfect marriage, but that's really rarely ever is the case. You know, usually mm-hmm. there's something going on behind the scenes that they're dealing with, or at least, you know, you'll find if you really talk to them and get to know them, you'll find that they did go through a really rough patch, and mm-hmm. Their current closeness may be something, the result of having gone through that particular rough patch that they went through. So that's really eye-opening to me that, you know, mm-hmm. most people don't have a perfect marriage from beginning to end.
Interesting. Well, I have selected several compelling stories as talking points for this morning. Can you give us a short rundown of these stories?
Yes, I would be happy to.
Wonderful. Let us start by the very first one, and this is in the category of honoring our commitment. The story is titled Midnight Plane to Georgia by Janelle Palmer Russell.
Yes, this is the very first story in the book, and this is told by a woman who's, she's a military wife, and her husband is returning to the States after a year-long deployment, and he's coming into Georgia, which happens to be quite a distance from their home, so together the wife and husband decide that she and the two daughters really can't afford, you know, to go meet him in the plane in Georgia, So he's just going to fly in and make his way, you know, to their home by himself. But suddenly the wife feels, you know, she starts thinking about her husband and her, you know, commitment to always be there for him. And she just decides, you know what, this is an important thing. I've got to be there for him. I've got to meet that plane when he comes home. And so she arranges for, you know, friends and family to watch the girls, and she manages to get a ticket. And she goes to meet the plane in Georgia. And when she's there, it's a great festive scene. Everyone's cheering. There's family there. Everybody's excited because a plane load of, you know, servicemen are returning home. And, and then suddenly she sees her husband, you know, coming out, and his friend whispers to him, you know, hey, I think there's somebody here that wants to see you. And he looks over and sees her, you know, and catches her eye and just, she said the look on his face was just priceless, you know, that she had made the trip to be there for him. It was, you know, such a heartwarming. I'm crying.
It's a wonderful
just thinking
opening.
About it.
Yeah, it's a wonderful opening. It's a beautiful love story. To make you understand for listeners out there, you know, this didn't happen like conveniently at 4:30 in the afternoon or something like that. This happened at 2:30 in the morning, in the middle of the night, I guess, in this case. And especially, you know, this is a wonderful shout out for our military family, because it is difficult for them. And apparently, in this case, her husband was deployed for a year. And
that's
so
a
that's
long
even
time.
Yeah. And so that makes a big difference. And so it just adds a special, nice touch. And I'm glad you all started out the book with this story.
It is. It's a beautiful story.
The second one is still in honoring our commitment. The title is Serving Love by Jenny Bradstreet.
Yes, this is another story that will put tears in your eyes. In this particular story, the husband comes down with tongue cancer. He is put in the hospital and goes through surgery. And he's, you know, he's very ill, and the wife is visiting him at the hospital. And unfortunately, the staff is very overworked at the hospital. And her husband doesn't get a bath, in fact, for 11 days. So it's tragic, and the wife is, you know, noticing that that this is going on. And she decides to see this as an opportunity to show her love for her husband. She sort of gets a vision in her mind of the Bible scene of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, you know, and the humility and the love in that particular gesture. And so she decides that she is going to bathe her husband herself at the in the hospital room. And so this is just a very moving story about how, you know, she does that. She gets the water and the sponge and bathes her husband, and he's just so grateful to her for the personal attention that she gives him, and you know, this very intimate way, I guess, of showing her love for him by taking care of him when he's ill and washing him. You know, it's just a very powerful expression of their love together and their commitment.
That's the reason why I chose this story, because it reminded me about how two people can really connect with one another. And I'm saying this respectfully, and this is not about giving your husband a massage or your wife a massage and all that kind of stuff. This is when someone is totally, totally incapable of taking care of themselves. And then when you come in with a genuine, loving heart, that touch, that feeling, that thing that you are doing, it really opens up you. Because when you reach across that boundary, unless you go above and beyond, then you will be able to feel a totally unique kind of love, a stronger connection that you have never felt before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, this is a gift that she's giving him. It's not, you know, a big screen TV or a, or the typical gifts that we think of that we think are going to make each other happy. This is, you know, it's a bath, but
it's the
most powerful gift that she could have given her husband.
Yeah.
So
it's a very different feeling. Yeah, very, very moving. The next story is in the section of Power of Prayer. The title is The Powerful Gift of Prayer by Diane Stock.
Yes, this story is written by a new bride. This is a little more lighthearted than the one we just talked about. This woman and her husband were recently married, and she happens to notice that her husband is reading a book, and she takes a look at it, and it's called, you've probably heard of this series of books. This particular one is The Power of a Praying Husband by Stormy, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, O'Martian?
Mm-hmm. O'Martian.
Okay. So she's reading, her husband is reading this book, and she's kind of surprised, you know, to see her husband reading this. And so she keeps watching the book each day, and she notices that, you know, the bookmark keeps moving. So she knows that her husband is reading this book a little bit each day and that he's actually praying for her, you know. And she's just amazed that he would do this, and she decides, well, you know, if my husband is going to do such a wonderful thing for me, I need to do this for him. I should be praying for him every day as well. And so she picks up the accompanying book, The Power of a Praying Wife, and starts to read it and starts to pray for her husband each day. But she feels kind of like she's just kind of doing the motions. You know, her prayers don't go very deep. It's more of an obligation, you know, he's doing it for me, so I got to do it for him kind of thing. So one day she opens up the book and she sees an inscription. Apparently she had bought a used copy, and she saw an inscription inside, and it was clear that the inscription was made by two parents who had given the book to their son's new wife. And they were asking their new daughter-in-law to pray for their son. And that was when the author realized, after reading this particular inscription, that this was really a privilege to pray for your husband, that it was actually a gift, like the sponge bath in the last
mm-hmm.
story. This
mm-hmm.
really was a meaningful gift that you could give to your spouse to pray for him, and you know, to pray daily for your husband, that you know, that God will watch over him and take care of him.
It's true. The story really connects with me because I'm reminded of what one of the things that my various mom told me years ago is that they work on their marriage, their love, every day. When you get up in the morning and you work on it every day. So basically it's very interesting because the first thing on both of their agendas, the husbands and the wife, is what can I do today for the other person? And that doesn't mean physical doing, but it's just the idea of having those wonderful, loving thoughts, whether in the sense of prayer and whatnot, because that's the most important thing.
Right, putting your spouse at the center of your thoughts and thinking, thinking, what can I do for him or for her?
Yeah, and then as you have family, then it's the spouse and the family. That's the focal point, because everything that you do for the rest of the day is for the betterment of the spouse or the family.
That's right.
That's something that I learned a long time ago from my various moms. So that's why the story, that sort of connect with me from that point of view. The next one is Learning to Communicate, The Wake-Up Call by Amy Stout.
Yes, this is another story actually by another military wife. And in this particular story, they're newlyweds this time. They've just gotten married. And as she terms it, they're in newlywed bliss. You know, she doesn't even care that they had to move away from their family and friends. You know, they're pretty much on their own because they're, you know, they're newlyweds. And they're having a great time. Fortunately, it sounds like her husband is not deployed. He's at home. And so they're, you know, they are able to share a home together. And But one night while they're asleep, she suddenly feels like a choking around her neck and a pressure around her head. And she realizes that her husband has put her in a chokehold. He's trying to choke her in his sleep. And then all of a sudden he rears up and he headbutts her, you know. He's just, so of course she's furious. She's just been woken out of this sound sleep. And what is happening? You know, my husband's trying to kill me here. And finally she wakes up her husband. And when he realizes what he's done, he's just shattered. You know, he's inconsolable. Mm-hmm. He can't believe that he actually hurt his wife and did this to her. And he explained that he had been having a dream that somebody was actually after her and that it was his job to protect her. So he thought he was protecting her from, you know, the bad guy that was after her. But the wife said that she learned, you know, she learned a valuable lesson from this episode once she got over being the pain of being headbutted by her husband, and that was that, you know, she knew that as their marriage continued, and for every marriage, that, you know, there are going to be times when we unintentionally hurt each other, you know, when we cause distress to our partner, you know, even if it's unintentional, and but she said, you know, forgiveness and compassion for our partner is really what, you know, is essential to preserving a loving relationship when these things happen. So it was kind of a very figurative, you know, event that really put the thought in her head, though, that, you know, these things are going to happen and I'm really going to have to start practicing some forgiveness for my husband, because it's not all going to be, you know, smooth sailing like those newlywed days that they were experiencing.
I think the most powerful message that I got from that is that when two people love each other, things are going to happen. That's natural. I mean, we're living in a real life situation here. Ultimately, it's the intention that counts. If you intentionally trying to hurt the other person, then maybe I'll be the first to say that's kind of unforgiving. There are times when you do things, you know, we all set out to do things right in life, but in the course of trying to do things right, we may not do the right thing. And where does that come in? That comes in through the aspects of being able to communicate effectively and let love overcome fear and being able to connect with someone.
That's true. I mean, all hurts are not intentional. Sometimes we hurt somebody without meaning to, but but we have to learn to forgive the other person and have compassion for them and understand that we're going to do the same thing to them as well and hope for forgiveness from our partner as well.
Yeah. The next one is embracing our differences. God appears in our stillness. By Mary Jo Hunden.
Okay, this is a story that really shows that opposites attract. The wife who is writing this story admits that she tends to be a very impatient person. She's always in a hurry. She's always, you know, the one saying, let's get going, let's move along, you know, what's going on next? She's just a really impatient person. And her husband is the complete opposite. You know, she says he has the patience of a saint. You know, he could sit there for hours and look at something, and he's never in a hurry to go, you know. So I'm sure this has caused many conflicts between them in the past. And she writes about a particular incident where they're in Maine together. It sounds like they were on vacation or something. And they were sitting in the car looking at the ocean when suddenly a seagull landed on the hood of their car. And the seagull started looking at the wife and kind of looking around. And he ended up entertaining them for 45 minutes, just standing on the roof of their car or the hood of their car. You know, and they were just sitting there mesmerized by watching the seagull. And, you know, later on that day after, you know, they went away from the ocean, the husband was talking to the wife, and he admitted to her, he said he had actually been praying when they were in the car together looking at the ocean. He had actually prayed that something would happen that would keep his wife peacefully in the car with him instead of saying, okay, you know, that's it, let's get going, you know, let's move on. Because he knew her personality, you know, he knew what was going to happen. And so that sequel was really an answer to his prayer, you know, that something would keep her in the car with him to share that very special moment together. And she said, you know, that really was a turning point for her. I think that she realized that she could really enjoy her husband's company and actually feel God in those moments where she really just slows down and makes an effort to understand him and why he likes to be still sometimes and not hurry on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Appreciating the present moment, it's the kind of thing where take a little time out to smell the roses.
Yeah, and she admits that she's not that kind of person normally. She didn't, you know, she really needed to learn it, but in a subtle way, you know. And it's funny that it took a seagull to teach her how to slow down a little bit, but it's a great story. It really is.
Well, it teaches also what I gather from it is that we're not taking each other for granted, because there will be wonderful times, wonderful moments, actually just to sit quiet with each other. And it's not about the talking. It's about being together in the moment and just be there in the stillness as God appears.
Exactly. They don't all have to be big moments. Sometimes it's just appreciating the time that you have together.
The next one is recapturing the magic. God sent me an email by Marge Gower. That's funny.
It is. I don't think most of us realize that God communicates by email, but perhaps he does, as this story shows. The story starts out a little sad because the wife writes that she and her husband had really kind of reached a bad point in their marriage. They'd started to take each other for granted. They had given up on trying to please each other. They were just basically centered on their own needs. And so they weren't as close as they used to be. You know, she really was upset about the situation. She was, you know, practically in tears that things had deteriorated as much as they had. And so she was sitting at her computer and suddenly got an email. And the email was titled, or it was an invitation to join a 14-day Romancing Your Husband Challenge. So that got her interest, you know. She thought, here I am sitting about my husband's troubles, and out of the blue suddenly comes in this email. And so she signed up for the challenge. And how it worked was each day an email would arrive in her inbox with suggestions for ways to romance your husband. You know, it might be something as simple as putting a chocolate kiss in his briefcase or writing I love you on the bathroom mirror or something like that. And she kind of made some modifications of her own to some of the suggestions. And she started doing that, you know, to do those little things, to go out of her way to make his favorite dessert, that kind of thing. And she realized that instead of sitting around and waiting for her husband to change, and we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, she needed to make the effort. You know, it was up to her to get the ball rolling and slowly integrate these little changes into their lives. And as she started to put her focus on what she could do for him and how she could surprise him each day, her husband started responding in kind. You know, he started to react to that, and she said eventually it worked. Their closeness returned. They got a lot closer together, and it really healed her heart and her marriage. It's so it goes to show that it's sometimes it's more of a change of mindset. You know, it's learning to think of the other person and appreciate the other person, and it can make a big difference in how you relate to each other.
And in the end, the women are still in control. See, you do all kinds of stuff, the men just react to it.
This is another one of those covert things you were talking
about. There you
about,
go.
Right?
She set out on a mission. She's in control in the end, and that's the fun part about this whole story.
It is, but you know, you got to look at the motivation as well. I mean, her motivation is not to control her husband, of course.
Right.
It's to improve their relationship. You know, she wants him to be happy too. She wants both of them to have a good relationship, and so you know, so it's a good thing that she's being subtle. Yeah, she's not coming right out and telling him what she needs from him, but it's a great way to slowly infiltrate, you know, the marriage and get
lead the man, lead the man. That's the whole.
Yeah.
The next one is Facing Our Challenges Together, A Spirit of Thanksgiving by Sandy Knutson.
Yes, this story, it's similar a little bit to the story with the woman who was bathing her husband in the hospital. In this particular case, this woman's husband was diagnosed with a rare form of degeneration of the cerebellum, is how she described it. They'd only been married for 4 years, and basically what it did to her, did to him, was it completely disabled him. He became bedridden. He could no longer care for himself, even the most you know, intimate tasks like dressing himself and using the bathroom. He was completely dependent on his wife for all of his needs. And needless to say, this was very consuming for her. She did end up having 2 children and held down a part-time job, but, you know, taking care of her husband was a full-time job as well. But she said she never really resented him for this particular, for doing this. They ended up being married 26 years. And she never resented having to care for him, because it was the way her husband responded to her. He was always so, fortunately, his mind remained intact. And she said he was always so very grateful and thankful for what he had, that he had a wife who was willing to care for him and to do everything for him. She said he never gave up his zest for life. You know, he never let himself get down or depressed or lashed out at her. He was just very, very thankful for the things that he had. And she said, you know, he really ended up being her greatest teacher in life. No matter how difficult their life was, he really taught her that you need to live with, as the title says, a spirit of thanksgiving, of being thankful for for what you do have and what you can do and the time that you can spend together. And she was just grateful that they had 26 years together, even though, you know, it was not the best of circumstances, but they had each other. And they, you know, they ended up being the best partners for each other.
It's a beautiful story. And, again, it focuses on the love that what makes everything possible.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, he reciprocated. Of course, he's very thankful for the fact that she's there for him. But at the same time, she realized that what is love? I mean, is it cooking dinner? Is it taking care of someone in this situation? Or is it about having kids? It makes you think about how do I really love my wife or my husband?
Mm-hmm.
In a very deep thought from that perspective.
Yeah, and I love that this husband was able to give that gift to her, that he couldn't give her anything. You know, he couldn't move,
couldn't
earn a living, he couldn't buy her anything, he couldn't do anything around the house, and yet he still found a way to give back to her, to give that gift to her and to keep the marriage together.
Right, and this is not something that someone that's been married for 15 years and all of a sudden it happened. This was very early in the marriage that happened, so anyone can just kind of pick up and bail out.
Yeah,
basically.
That I'm sure that it's happened where they people have said, well, you know, I'm young yet, I can start over with somebody else, you know, I'm out of here. But she didn't do that.
Right. The next one is Surrender It All, True Home by Jennifer Cotting.
Yes, this is a story about a fairly young wife. She has a what seems like a perfect life. She has a happy marriage, a new baby, and she and her husband bought a home together. But unfortunately, as their family grew, the house got too small for them, and she started to see this was not our dream house. We really need to buy something else. Well, unfortunately, it appears that this hit right at the time of the housing crash, you know, all of a sudden their house went way down in value and they couldn't sell it. And so they were stuck in this house that was too small for them, that didn't fit their family's needs. And she started to get very resentful. You know, she was upset that they were stuck in this house that they couldn't buy something else and move up in the world. And so, one day she was just happened to glance down at her wedding ring, and I love that it just took a little thing like that, but she started looking at her wedding ring and started thinking about her marriage, and she said, you know what, you know, I've really got all that I need, you know, this wedding ring is a signal that I have a loving husband, you know, he's very hardworking, he allows her to stay home with the children, he doesn't complain, you know, he helps her carry the burden at home, and it just that little glance kind of turned her perspective around. You know, she realized that she was grumbling over something that was superficial, that she really did have it all. As she wrote in there, she said, the economy might have been crashing, but my relationship was booming. And that, you know, it put things in perspective, I guess. You know, she realized that she couldn't cloud her otherwise perfect life by being upset over this house. You know, there were blessings to be had in their particular situation. So
the key to that story is your marriage and the place you live a house or a home?
Good point.
Yeah, and that's why I chose that story, because is it a house or a home?
Mm-hmm.
A home is where people are living in it. House is just a building that houses the people living in it. And she finally realized the fact that, oh, this is just a roof over our head, and the people in the house, this building, that really matters. And that's what made this whole family a home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
The next story is Second Chances, Growing in Love by Linda DeFeu.
Well, this is one of those stories, as I said at the beginning, we have some stories in the book about a second marriage, you know, starting over with a new spouse. And and trying to make it work. And I love the way she started this story. She writes, "My husband and I never fell in love." You know, and when you first read that, you're like, what does that mean? Is this a marriage of convenience? What is she talking about? And what she's saying is, she said when she met her husband, they never had one of those. It wasn't a teenage relationship. It wasn't one of those where their hearts were fluttering and the bells were ringing. And, you know, they knew that when they found a second partner, you know, when they remarried, that it would have to be based on things that were a lot stronger than an instant attraction, you know. And she and her husband had some issues. She suffered from rheumatoid arthritis, which can be very crippling and possibly put her in a wheelchair down the road. And her husband, who is a former police chief, had been disabled when he took a gunshot to the shoulder. So, but the thing that really impressed her husband from the beginning was his attitude. Again, you know, his career had ended because he'd been shot, and yet he'd always had a positive attitude. And because of what he had gone through, he had a lot of compassion for her. You know, she sort of tested him a little bit. She said, you know, well, how can you love me with this condition I have? You know, I might end up in a wheelchair. You might end up taking care of me, you know. And he basically said, I don't care. You know, that's all right. We're together. That's what I want. And, you know, that's our relationship. Our love for each other is a lot more important to me than those kinds of things. And so what she was trying to say is, even though she and her husband had never, quote, fallen in love, you know, in the way that you think of as young people do, she said their love is something that grows every day just because of their deep commitment and their caring for each other. And, you know, the moral of the story is that's the kind of love that lasts, you know.
Right.
That will help them go for the long haul.
It's a beautiful story, and it reminds me a lot about a movie that I've seen a long time back. And in that movie, they have this phrase that I thought really sums everything up. Respect leads to appreciation. Appreciation leads to like. Like leads to love.
Yeah, that's why they say a lot of times it's better if you're friends before you're married, because that really sets a foundation for the relationship that you'll have later once all those butterflies and, you know, silly things go away, and there you are with each other. If you have a foundation of respect and love and friendship with each other, then it's much more likely that your relationship will continue and will grow together.
This is the last one that I really like, and I have to finish my list here in the sense that it really connects to me because I dance. So this is the title of the section, Together in Strength, and the story is The Gift of Dance by Mary Phillips.
This is a great story. And this story also starts with an email. It's a story of a husband and wife. Notice how modern day romance now involves all this technology, but it's great. The husband and wife get an email from a mutual friend, and it's inviting them to take a dance class together. And the wife basically deletes it. She said, oh, my husband will never agree to this. He won't even dance with me at weddings. You know, she always has to go ask her girlfriends to go dance with her or something, because her husband he's not a dancer. And so she's in complete shock when her husband comes to her and says, hey, you know, this sounds like fun. Why don't we sign up? So she does, you know, she's going to seize the moment if he's offering. And so they sign up for these dance lessons together. And they both find that it just really brings them a lot closer together as a couple. You know, they learn that, you know, of course, when you're this is a ballroom dancing class, and of course, when you're dancing, the wife in particular has to put a lot of trust in her husband because he's doing these swoops and, you know, trying to catch her when she leans back and that kind of thing, and she really has to put a lot of trust into her husband. And And she said that taking dance lessons together has really revitalized their 25-year marriage because they're just so much closer now. You know, you make eye contact when you dance, and just that trust between them and creating something beautiful together has really revitalized their marriage.
It's a wonderful story, and this is from a guy's perspective. This is about the only time the guy is in charge.
Now we know why you like dancing.
There you go. No matter how good she is, the dancer, she's only as good when you lead her.
That's true. But it is a partnership. I mean, they couldn't do it without each other. She couldn't do it without him. He couldn't do it without her. It'd be breakdancing. It wouldn't be ballroom dancing. So it's definitely a partnership. And I think a good metaphor for those times when we do need to not be afraid to lean on our partner and let him take the lead sometimes and trust him with what's going on in our lives. So
the rest of the story, actually, what I just told you, that although the man is in charge, we are in control in terms of leading our female partner. But the whole idea about ballroom dancing is the man's job to make the woman look good. See?
We like that. I think I'm going to go sign up for some classes now.
There you go. You say, honey, you know, I think it's about time for us to go do some ballroom dancing.
That's right. I never thought of that. But.
Yep. It is the man's responsibility to make the woman look good.
To make her look good, huh? That's great.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite story in the book?
I think it's more a favorite chapter for me. I really like the Embracing Our Differences chapter. And I think it's a lot of what we talked about before. Sometimes it's just the little issues that tend to divide us that drive us crazy. You know, like my husband throws his clothes on the floor all the time. He is so meticulous about everything else in our house, more than I am. And yet for some reason he thinks it's okay to throw his clothes on the floor. You know, so it's just those little things like that can really eat away at a relationship. And I think that's why I could really relate to the Embracing Our Differences chapter. There's a story in there about a woman wrote called Meatloaf for My Man, and she talks about how her husband loves meatloaf, and she and her five sons basically can't stand it. But she makes meatloaf for her husband because, again, it's those little signs, those little ways of showing your love for your partner. You know, to him, it's not just a meatloaf. It's his wife showing that she cares for him enough to make something for him that she doesn't really care for. And so I just really love that message.
Interesting. What is the one secret to a happy marriage? Or is there such a thing as that?
Well, obviously there are probably several differences or several secrets, but something that really stands out to me, I think, is kindness. You know, it's really a matter of how you treat each other, whether you belittle each other or criticize each other, you know, or do you like each other? Do you respect each other's opinions? You know, every relationship is going to have differences of opinion and problems that come up. But I think when it comes down to it, it's how kindly do you treat each other? You know, how do you handle these differences? Can you approach them in a gentle manner, you know, and remember that you love this person and you want to treat them well, or, you know, or not? And it's when you don't have that kindness between you that I think problems can arise, and it's very hard to come back because then resentments build and trouble brews, and it's very hard to forgive when someone is not treating you with kindness.
Very true. How has your personal journey been like?
Well, I've had troubles in my own life with marriage. I'm on a second marriage. My two oldest sons are from a previous marriage, which ended, and so I ended up raising them as a single parent for 9 years before
wow.
I met my current. Yeah. So I've seen the whole spectrum of, you know, a good marriage, a bad marriage, being a single parent, and now raising two children with my current husband. And so it's, you know, it's definitely given me perspective and seeing that, you know, you really, marriage is work. It's hard work, and you really have
yeah.
to give it priority in your life and pay attention to it. To make it, you know, to make it successful, just like anything else in your life.
Yeah. What would you like for the readers to gain from reading this book?
I think the most important thing in reading this book is just knowing that that you're not alone. And we discussed this, you know, a little bit
mm-hmm.
earlier. It's
mm-hmm.
it's really, you know, everybody has their issues, and you know, there's something that you can learn from reading other people's stories. You can find comfort, you know, in knowing that people have successfully overcome their problems, and you know, and there's hope. It gives you hope for the future. So that's what I, you know, and I think all the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, I think that's why they're so successful, because they help people
mm-hmm.
to realize that they are not alone, and that other people are have the same experiences that they do.
Interesting. Where can someone go to buy the book and keep up with you? Because I know you do a lot of blogging and so forth, so tell us about that.
Oh, yes. Well, first of all, with the book,
mm-hmm.
you can find Devotional Stories for Wives at the Chicken Soup for the Soul website, which is www.chickensoup.com. And you can also buy it from any of the major retailers like Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And as for me, you can find me on my website. It's SusanHeim.com. My last name is spelled H-E-I-M. And on that website, you'll find links to the books that I've worked on for Chicken Soup for the Soul, as well as links to my blogs. I have a parenting blog called Susan Heim on Parenting, and I also have a writing blog called Susan Heim on Writing, where I talk about books and
mm-hmm.
and writing and reading and that kind of thing. So,
fantastic. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the hour. Since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
Sure. I think the recipe for living that I really learned from reading this particular book and many of these
mm-hmm.
stories is that there's always hope. You know, no matter
mm-hmm.
what we're going through or how difficult things are, you know, there's always hope. And in particularly in regards to our marriages, you know, when we have a sense of humor, you know, when we embrace our differences, and when we honor our commitment, and even, you know, when we pray and make that part of our lives, you know, there's always hope that our situation and particularly our relationships can improve and can grow and become better than what we think they can be.
That's wonderful. It's true. Hope is the best recipe that we can have to keep us moving forward. So, Susan, thank you for the great recipe for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Lisa Senke. Lisa will be sharing the inside story on what led her son, Tim, to his tragic suicide, as well as valuable resource for troubled teens, worried parents, and survivors of tragic loss. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed week. Susan, thank you again, and have a blessed day.
Thank you, Johnny. I had a great time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.